Hello, funky listeners, and welcome to another episode of Funk Radio. This is your host, Kyle.
And this is your host, Peter.
Hi, Peter.
Did you watch
Did you watch the sport thing today?
No, I did not watch the sport thing today.
Yay, sports, do the thing.
Who won the sports thing?
The Boston Frontiersmen? I don't know. The blue guys.
People have no idea what we're talking about.
The blue people. No, it was the Patriots.
Didn't they just win a year or two ago?
Yeah, they won last year. They're slowly turning into like football dynasty where they just always win, or at least go to the Super Bowl. They've gone to the Super Bowl 9 times in like the last 20 years and won now 5 times.
Wow.
So that's
more times than you and me.
Yeah, true. Very true.
Speaking of dynasties, you've been rewatching a show.
Oh, yes. good tie-in. I started rewatching the Cartoon Network show Samurai Jack to prepare for the upcoming 5th season, which I think is also going to be on Cartoon Network. The show's been off air for, like, what, 10 years, I think? And
at least, yeah.
They're suddenly doing a 5th season now, so it's got a lot of people excited. So I'm going back and rewatching the show to kind of catch up.
Well, we've only got about a month or so before that happens, so
yeah,
pretty stoked.
I'm like halfway through the first season, so I gotta do it quick.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I did that a little while ago.
Yeah, that's kind of what half reminded me, because I was trying to think. I'm like, I need a show to watch, and then I remembered you watched that, so. It's funny though, because upon watching the show, I realized that the bad guy in the show, Aku, is voiced.
Aku!
Yes. Is voiced by the same voice actor who does Uncle Iroh in Avatar The Last Airbender, which I know you just watched.
Yeah, I didn't know that was the same guy, but you told me that right before we
started
recording. I thought that was pretty cool.
I had his name up. It's Mako Itsumura or something.
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
Iwamatsu. Mako Iwamatsu. He died in 2006 of throat cancer, which is sad.
That's especially as someone who makes a living with their voice.
I know. That's like horribly ironic. And he has a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, so that's pretty cool.
Oh, nice.
Because he was, on top of being a really famous voice actor, he was in a lot of movies from, like, the 70s, basically all the way to the 2000s, playing different, you know, minor Asian roles. So, that's pretty cool.
Well, that's neat. Completely unrelated to that, we have another episode of Funk Radio.
Well, you see, in Samurai Jack, he goes to the future, and in this episode, we're going to go to the past.
All right, I'll give you that one. That's as good as we're ever going to get.
I choked on my terrible terrible tie-in.
So this one actually came to me like last night or something. I only thought of this the other day. More recently, we've been talking more about like old music tech, as in like turn of this 20th century. Most obviously with the last episode we just did, where we talked about two kind of wacky inventions that pioneered music stuff. But anyway, so I got to thinking, like, so what was actually like the very first song that was ever recorded? I was kind of just curious about figuring that out, because I don't I mean, that's not really like common knowledge, you know.
Yeah,
to start off, I think the thing that impressed me the most was, not only do we have like a definitive historical figure to look back to who did it first, but also, strangely enough, we actually can listen to the recording, and we'll play it on the episode for you listeners to hear as well. Because I guess my thought was that a lot of the times with like the very first blank, you know, there's not always good records kept.
Yeah.
One way or another. Mm-hmm. So to start out with the Who, some of you might be thinking, was it Thomas Edison? No, it was not.
It was Tesla.
He used electricity to make a really fast car, and when he did that, it made music. No, I'm kidding.
The music.
God, our jokes are just complete shit tonight. So a lot of people actually do credit Thomas Edison as the first person to record sound and music. That's actually incorrect. Kyle, I know I don't think you watch Bob's Burgers at all, but I can't think of Thomas Edison anymore without thinking of an episode they have where the girl Louise has to do a science report, mm-hmm. and the substitute science teacher is obsessed with Thomas Edison, and he makes her do a report on Edison. And she's pissed off, and then she realizes that Edison was like a huge dick.
Yeah.
So her report is basically like exposing him as being like a huge dick.
I
always think of him.
I was going to say, I was aware Edison was a dick because I forgot where I learned this, but I remember his whole battle with Tesla between alternating and direct current. And he basically like went around the country electrocuting elephants and killing them to try to scare people into thinking that alternating current was bad.
Well, that's funny enough. That's actually what that episode is based on.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They do a musical reenactment of killing Topsy the elephant.
That's pretty funny. That's pretty awesome. I think I have to watch that.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Anyway, so I can't think of Thomas Edison anymore without thinking of that. So anyway, no, he was not the person. In 1860, which is a long-ass time ago, listeners, there was a French printer and bookseller named Edward Leon Scott de Martinville, April 9th, 1860, to be exact. He recorded a French folk song, Au Clair de la Lune, which I believe means, I looked it up, in the moonlight, I believe. And to do this, he used his own invention, which was called the phonautograph, which is the earliest known sound recording device. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of the phonautograph, Kyle?
I've heard, no.
I have not.
I've heard of a phonograph, and I've heard of a phonautograph, but I've never heard of a phonautograph. Is it like a phonograph that signs your name?
Kind of, but not really. So basically the way this thing worked was that it had this diaphragm, so like basically, you know, when sound comes into this diaphragm, it vibrates, and then it moves this little sketching drawing thing. My brain cannot say words tonight. Basically, the machine would etch lines onto paper,
mm-hmm.
based on, you know, however the audio is coming in. So essentially, it was just drawing a graphical waveform of the sound, you know, very much like you might see anywhere. You know, if you've ever seen like a visual representation of music of a waveform, that's basically what it outputted.
Huh.
With it. So in a way, it was kind of writing the signature of the song, I suppose. But the problem with this is that basically it's outputting line scratchings on a piece of paper, so you can't play this back. So the machine could only record audio, it cannot play anything back. So because of this, the recording itself was not actually listened to and was pretty much almost forgotten until its rediscovery in 2008. And to save you some math, that's 148 years later that this thing was recorded and then never listened to. So apparently scientists retrieved the original paper of his from the Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory in California, and they scanned it into a computer, and using some kind of computer magic, I think they put it in the computer and they pressed the science button. They actually were able to play back this sound, finally, using that scanned image. So we are actually going to play it for you right now, I guess, listeners, so that you can hear that. Keep in mind that since this is a scan of a graphical representation of sound from 150 years ago, it's going to sound
bad.
not very good, but you know, we'll discuss a little bit more after you listen to this clip.
Do you think that after, I can't even pronounce this guy's name, Edward Leon Scott
Just call him Scott.
Scott, after we recorded it, he, like, went around, like, asking people to listen to his mixtape.
No, he would hold up the paper saying, look at my mixtape.
Look at my mixtape. Won't you look at my mixtape?
God.
That's pretty funny. So, it's kind of interesting because I know last episode we were talking about the, like, wristwatch phonograph that they talked about on that Netflix show, White Rabbit.
Oh, yeah.
And interestingly enough, they kind of described the inner workings of a phonograph on that show, where the needle that rides along the grooves of a record, the, I guess, bumping and moving of that needle hits a diaphragm drum, and that sound is then magnified through the phonograph horn. So, in a weird way, this is like a halfway predecessor to it, because it's using a diaphragm to not play back something that's already recorded, but to record something that's coming in. It's almost like a reverse phonograph.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. There is some similarity there, yeah.
So, that's kind of cool, I guess, from a science perspective.
Mm-hmm. And this predated that by, like,
100 years.
80 years or something.
Yeah, 80. Yeah, when was the phonograph invented?
Oh, the phonograph? I was thinking of the baby phonograph. I actually don't know. Maybe like 1890s or so.
The device was invented in 1877, so only 17 years later.
Oh.
That's impressive.
It's a bit earlier than I would have guessed.
It was invented by Thomas Edison, god damn it.
Well, it was probably stolen by Thomas Edison.
Yeah, good point.
From somebody else. And then I bet he used that phonograph to play back the sound of the elephant dying.
Oh, that's funny. It actually mentions the phonograph in the phonograph Wikipedia page.
Oh.
Direct tracings of the vibrations of found producing objects such as tuning forks had been made by English physician Thomas Young in 1807. Holy shit. But the first known device for recording airborne speech, music, or other sounds was the phonograph, patented in 1857 by French inventor Edouard Leon Scott de Martinville. Sound waves traveling would travel through the diaphragm, which was linked to a bristle that then traced a line along a thin coating of soot on a sheet of paper wrapped around a rotating cylinder. So it's kind of like a seismograph in a weird way.
I was actually thinking that same thing. Yeah, I mean, that's another good way to look at it, listeners, if you're trying to visualize this machine.
The sound vibrations were recorded as undulations or other irregularities in the traced line. Scott's phonograph was invented purely for the visual study and analysis of the tracings. Reproduction of the recorded sound was not possible with the original phonograph.
So that would explain why, at least from what I don't actually know. I didn't look super deep into it, but I'm guessing that there wasn't any attempt on his part to make them
reproducible,
like to play them back, because he was studying the waveforms, not trying to like play something back that he recorded earlier.
True. But yeah, no, it does sound like that his invention was sort of the building block of the phonograph, which would
certainly forever, one of them, yeah,
which would forever change music. So
yeah, I'm still kind of, you know, impressed that we actually can hear that audio, and that's only been around, I guess, for not even 10 years.
Yeah,
that we've been able to hear that, which is pretty impressive.
That is pretty cool. So celebrating more unknown inventors here on Funk Radio.
If you can think of something that Thomas Edison stole and didn't invent himself, tell us on Facebook at facebook.com/getyourfunk. If you're listening to us on SoundCloud, you can tell us there at soundcloud.com/getyourfunk. You can listen to us on Google Play to search for us in the podcast section. We're also on mixcloud.com/getyourfunk if you want to see more of our archives there as well. Lots of ways to get your funk.
Yeah. And as we said in our prior episode, possible blog in the works, under construction, all that stuff. Keep your ears open.
And your hearts
free.
Also open.
This has been your host, Kyle.
And this has been your host, Peter. Thanks for listening to Funk Radio. We'll be back again, probably.